Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company. I'm Gary Moore on today's program.
You know, the truth will set you free. And so our truth is our truth. And just because you don't want to acknowledge it doesn't make it true. So, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, but the truth is the truth.
Dr. Tanya Jenkins, superintendent of Quest, is also a native of Texas and talks about the Juneteenth holiday.
The first question I have is, what was your reaction when you heard that Juneteenth is now a federal holiday?
My first reaction was, wow, this is pretty amazing and pretty quick that it happened, but very pleased and surprised at the same time.
Growing up in Texas, what was your knowledge of Juneteenth?
I think growing up in Texas, it was, you know, anything that we did was always just around what we could do to support, you know, our blackness. So Juneteenth was always celebrated. We just remember it always being a family time and a community time. And it was always good times for our family and for those of us that came together as a community. I've always been in the arts world, so that was always my connection to the holiday to the day was just it was a time of coming together, celebrating, and just having community. So that's always been a part of the culture, whether it was a holiday or not. It was our time to be together.
And so you being a dancer, I'm sure if there was some type of event, then your role in the event was to provide the dance portion.
Yeah, we were always doing entertainment. I mean, that's always been the excitement for me was, you know, seeing the drama pieces that were performed, the dancing pieces. I just remember the color and the crowd coming together just to be together. And so that was the celebration in and of itself, was just seeing how many people came out and came together, you know, for a single day of events. And, you know, I don't know that, you know, as a young person that I fully understood why we were always together. You know, that got better as I got older, but I just remember, you know, my parents, that was always just a time that was celebrated. So, but what my part was always, I just remember the color. You know, for me as an artist, I remember the color and the celebrations and the different music and the food. So, yeah, it's always been a time for me that was, just a fond memory of being togetherness. That togetherness was so powerful.
As an educator, talk to me a little about the historic significance of Juneteenth, because we know, and I've talked with you before about this, freedom is a birthright, and Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers of the United States wrote these beautiful words about freedom, justice, and equality for everybody, and how we have these inalienable rights, which include life, liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. The fact that Black people had their freedom, their birthright, their freedom taken away for some 300 years. And then when Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, I remember when I was in school in Chicago during the Black Power movement in the 60s, particularly the late 60s, early 70s, people would kind of raise an eyebrow when they heard Lincoln freed the slaves, you know, because it was like, you know, if slavery took away our birthright, then if anything, Lincoln was returning to us something that had been taken. Okay, with the Emancipation Proclamation. Then on top of that, in Texas, you're going to keep the signing of the proclamation secret for more than 2.5 years. So that now with Juneteenth, when we learn that, oh, wow, you know, we were supposed to be...
We're behind the times.
Yeah, we're supposed to be free, so, you know, 2.5 years ago. So Juneteenth, from that standpoint, is really a deeper reflection. It's a deep reflection on justice delayed a couple, three times.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as an educator, as a little girl, you know, I don't know that you get all of that, you know, the profoundness of that, because you've got your family there protecting you, and you've got your family around you. And, you know, for me growing up, it was like, you know, some of that didn't happen till teenage years, where I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to understand, like you said, the profoundness of all of this. And it kind of makes you, you know, say, wow. So the only thing I can say to this discussion for me is, for me, hopefully, is helping as we try to keep teaching our young people what this means for them as a people. This helps them to understand. I keep saying that word profoundness, because sometimes as we move throughout, you lose the impact, or you can lose the impact of a generation, and how that fits, and what the motivation should be to keep moving forward. So I think for me, this is another way of signifying consciousness, because that's what happens. Sometimes you get so caught up in just the day-to-day, you try not to lose the consciousness of what you're teaching young people and what their responsibilities are in bringing this to the forefront. So I'm just impressed that this gives us as educators another way to use to be able to help teach our young people not to forget, not to give in, and to keep all of this alive, as we say, to keep why we celebrate, what the meaning of celebration is, and not just that it's a one day a year kind of celebration. So I just think as an educator, it gives us the motivation to be able to keep this front and center. And that's important in all the other things that we're trying to do on a daily basis, educators.
Yeah, and I talked with our sister, Sharon Reed, with the Heritage Ensemble, mm-hmm. and she was talking about, you know, that word celebration. As long as when we celebrate, we also commemorate. And mm-hmm. because in America, unfortunately, we tend to party on the holidays, regardless of what the meaning of the holiday is. You know, Memorial Day is the first launch of summer, and so we have a cookout, you know, and rarely do we get together and say, let's pause and acknowledge our uncle who died in Vietnam, you know, or, you know, and so it's always important when you were talking about how we teach our young people the profoundness. Going back to what I was saying about Jefferson and how this country got off to a hypocritical start, we are trying always to refine this American experiment to, as you know, President Obama likes to say, you know, make this the more perfect union. You know, if it got off to a hypocritical start, and these people who were saying those beautiful things about freedom, justice, and equality were slave owners, okay, well then, you know, some 100 years later, or, you know, short of 100 years, we fight a civil war. You know, and then 100 years after that, we have the civil rights movement. And then some, you know, what, a year or so ago, you know, we have the Black Lives Matter movement, you know. And so we've always been trying to make this thing better. And that's, I think, one of the lessons we want to teach our young people, is that this is not a perfect union, that America needs them to help make this country better. You want to speak?
And they also, and they need to, you know, the constantness with in education for me is always helping, you know, because young people, and it's the nature of America, again, that they sometimes get these certain privileges just because of the generation they're in. They don't even understand sometimes the oppressions and the things that are still happening around issues unless we help them to define it and understand it and to see what they can do to continue to help, you know, improve it. So sometimes I think we have to, you know, continue to say, well, when you see these things happening, it has a root cause. It has a foundational basis. It's not just because it's 2021 that this is happening. No. This goes back. So, you know, I think whatever we can do, whether it's making, you know, this a holiday or, you know, it's helping young people, all people, to begin to keep understanding the consciousness of what the imperfectness, like you said, of some of these American traditions. And, you know, my family, my immediate family, you know, Memorial Day is a day for us to stop and say, you know, what about our loved ones, and going to the sites and making sure you refresh things, and, you know, we're making sure that our nieces and nephews understand this is not just a day to come together and, you know, have a cookout. So I think it's always, what are we doing as families and families of, you know, community families, to keep this understanding that's not superficial in the hearts and understanding of the new generations? Because if they don't get it, you know, again, you just sort of get, it just surfaces, and you do things that are, you don't do it meaningfully, but you just don't have enough understanding to get to the root cause of why this being a holiday can really help motivate and spur on some deeper occurrences, is what I'm hoping happens. Mm-hmm. And it takes it off of just that, you know, let's come together and cook and have fellowship. Yes, that's important. But what does that make us do for the rest of the year? What does that help us to remember that we still have some struggles and some challenges that we need to be focused on? And those are the things that still need to be continued to be taught in the school, and not just by, you know, certain teachers, but by all educators. So that's for me something that I'm constantly looking for. How do we continue to train the adults that are then trying to teach the children? Because they need it just as much as the children.
Yeah, I have two last questions along those lines. I'll ask the first one, and then I'll get to the last one. But when you were talking about a diversity of teachers teaching this subject matter, I remember many years ago when you were the principal at Roosevelt, and you and another a teacher actually invited me to come and do a Black History program. And I remember talking with you back then, you know, it could have been a couple decades ago, about how the history curriculum was deficient in terms of the infusion of African and African-American content. And I was at the time working on Black to the Future, which is a play from Dr. Garrett's book, The Negro in Peoria. And I had shared that when I asked Dr. Garrett, should we just have Black History Month, or should Black history be taught as a part of the general school history curriculum year-round, he did not hesitate to say both. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said, you know, we should keep Black History Month, and Black history should be taught as a part of the general history curriculum. And I was like, wow, okay. In my mind, I'm thinking, is that overkill? But then he went on to explain how profound, going back to your word, profound, African American history is, and that the fact that this country did start off on a hypocritical footing, that what our struggle represents, yeah, it represents our struggle, Black people's struggle and what we went through, et cetera, in our journey. But it also, and now to use John Lewis's words, the late Congressman John Lewis, it also represents an attempt to redeem the soul of America. You know, that we are trying via the Civil Rights Movement, via the Black Lives Matter movement, via having Juneteenth as a holiday. All these things really are, if you look at them one way, an attempt to hold America to its ideals, to put a mirror in front of America and say, how close are you or were you to making these ideals come true for everybody? Does that make sense?
Oh, and it resonates because now Black history is required. So we've come from it being, again, an idea of, yes, you know, again, as an educator, always wanting to make sure that we infuse this into the curriculum. You know, you have all of these codes for each state of what is mandated curriculum, you know, and for them to finally get that Black history should be a part of the curriculum, and then to be able to have curriculum that is correct and not just curriculum that, again, is superficial, is very, very important and a part of, again, me wanting to be in that educational realm to ensure that the young people get that information and they get it correctly. So again, I think, you know, those words that you found, you know, like you said, several decades ago, have caught up with themselves now. And now, not only do we try to infuse the Black History Month, but the Black History curriculum right along with it. And we make it so that it's not just Black History Month. It's a part of what we do and who we are as a school all year. That's, to me, the bigger picture. That's the bigger understanding that I want children, you know, of this generation to have. This is what your forefathers did. This is what decades ago, this is what, you know, Juneteenth is about. And how do you fit into that and how do you move that forward? Because if they're not a part of the movement, then again, we're always just, you know, to me being that superficial level again of coming together and having a party and celebrating. And there's nothing wrong with that. But like you said, to kind of keep America being, you know, ready to accept the deficiencies and infuse solutions, there has to be that understanding. And it can't always be the adults trying to do that. I think, you know, again, the youth have to understand their history and have to understand where their place is in making sure it doesn't get, some things don't get repeated, but that we keep moving forward. So, again, I think this puts a spotlight on things, and I think it gives all of us a supercharge to be able to say the work that we're doing, you know, to reflect on it and to see if it's really aligned with what's going to keep things moving for the next, you know, generation to do better.
We want to remind our listeners, this is Newsmakers on WPNV. Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company, and we are talking with Dr. Tanya Jenkins, who is the superintendent for Quest, and always a pleasure to talk with you. Are you optimistic, having come out of a year of COVID, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, the insurrection, are you optimistic as you look into the future of our country that we are finally reckoning with race matters?
I'm always going to be optimistic. I'm one of these people who, you know, there's no matter what part of time you're in, you're going to find all of those things that the community had to deal with, and certainly as we push to make things better, there are going to be people who push to make sure that, you know, you try to stay stagnant or that you even go reverse. But the students that I work with and the teachers that we work with, you know, whatever you can do in your pocket of the world to keep molding people and keep giving them information and keep helping them to become advocates, they're still going to be a part of the world that says, you know what, we're not going to let you pull us down, and we're not going to let you become the mainstream of what happens. So there's always going to be, you know, that negativity, and we teach our young people today that adversary is going to be there. Those conflicts are going to be there. It's how you respond to them. But we continue to teach young people and include the educators that are in their lives to be accountable and to know how to advocate and how to push through, then we're still creating a viable means of keeping this world moving forward. So yes, I am very optimistic that we have some very strong young people who understand what they see. They understand how to navigate. They understand their role and what they should be doing to help make the country better. So that's all we can do as educators, I think, from my perspective and my role, is to keep making sure that I don't slack up in my duties of telling people the truth, making them reflect on that truth, and then reflect on what are you doing about that truth. So they see it. We have discussions. We talk about the legislation that's coming up because of some of these things that happen, and how can we, with our voices, help make some of that legislation stronger to help support some of these things that are happening. So we just have to keep teaching what to be done to improve situations. And then I always am going to feel that the good is going to always outweigh the evil and the people that are trying to reverse things or put stumbling blocks in our way. Because those things are going to happen. They've happened in every generation. That's not going to stop. And yet, if we're true Americans, we're not going to let that. And you see by the movements that happen, that come up out of the country, people are still motivated to do what's right for all. And that's the part that's encouraging and keeps me going every day.
And my last question, it harkens back to something you were talking about with the diversity of teachers. Because as you know, there was a time, and it wasn't just with Roosevelt School, but when I would go around to do Black History programs, unfortunately, a lot of times, I would be the only Black History information that school would get for that year. And I remember being at one school, I don't know where it was, if it was a Peoria school or if I was in another city locally. And I was leaving, and one of the teachers said to me, you know, that was really a great program, Mr. Moore. You know, I didn't know that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington had slaves. And this was a teacher. And as I'm leaving, I'm thinking, we need to retrain the teachers.
That's why I said out loud, it's not just the students that need this education. You know, and this is why I'm saying I think we've still come a long way from the days from Roosevelt, because one of the things that I quickly understood was it's not just about, you know, training the students. This is about training the teachers as well. And one of the things that we can do, because it's something that I reflected on, is, you know, you look at your hiring practices. Who are you hiring? Who are you bringing in? Are you bringing people in just for Black History, or is this a part of your culture that you do all year long? You know, are you putting professionals in front of students that look like them? There's so many things that we do sometimes subconsciously, and one of the things I say to my staff all the time is the things that we do have to be relevant to what's real. And so that to me means, again, some of those things that I'm pointing out. You can't just bring a Gary Moore in on one day and think that that's going to suffice. And so one of the things that we do is you know, we make sure we take our students to the Black businesses in the community as our family engagement, so they know where they are. They understand what entrepreneurship looks like in the Black community. I mean, there's so many things that you can do to help students be proud and understand, and then we teach them what does advocacy look like, you know, in some of the presentations and things that they have to do. So I think as educators, we have a responsibility to understand our role is much bigger and much broader than just, like I said, letting students have off for the day to celebrate. No, you teach them, why are you going to be off tomorrow, and what are you going to do that's going to make your community better? Service hours, you know, instead of that day just being a whole day for your family, are we actually going around and helping to clean up? Are we going around to some of the homes and, you know, nursing homes and celebrating with people that don't have, you know, what you have, which is family? Are we writing cards? There's just so many things that we as educators can do to help our young people and our families and our educators understand that this is not a superficial issue. This is something that is real. And if America's going to be better, we have to get it right in our own communities right here in Peoria.
And what do you say to those folks, and you've heard this, who say, oh, you're trying to rewrite history. This is revisionist history.
I say to them, you know, the truth will set you free. And so our truth is our truth. And just because you don't want to acknowledge it doesn't make it true. So, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, but the truth is the truth. And the fact that this time in our country, when we're able to be able to bring some of these things forth, and that, you know, it's, you see some of the things that are happening because these truths are coming out. It doesn't make people comfortable. There's some people who are very uncomfortable, like you said. And so, you know, they're going to say their truth, that this is fabricated. It's, you know, trying to rewrite history. It's all of those things. But the truth of the matter is those were all things that were true, but it was just kept under, you know, sort of under the skirts, and nobody talked about it. Well, we're to a point now in our country where we can talk about these things and get uncomfortable. I mean, you don't want me to start talking about where we've had to be uncomfortable and had to, you know, just to live with these things. And it's nice to come to a time in our lives when we can see, you know, say your truth, stand up for your truth, and now teach the truth. So as an educator, I'm very excited that we don't have to use a curriculum that is still one-sided. We can say, no, we can challenge that. You know, I can challenge the teachers to say, no, we're not using that curriculum. This is the curriculum that we're going to use because this is where we are. This is what's real, and our children need to understand that. And if you didn't have that understanding, then it's time for you to, you know, have a refresher and get your certificate updated. So, you know, it just, it gives us a little bit more leverage to be able to, again, say our truths. And that is a refreshing, challenging, motivating place to be in history right now.
Yeah, you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
And be willing to understand that a few little shells are going to get in there, and you still have to be able to make the omelet.
Right. Dr. Tanya Jenkins, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise, Mr. Moore, thank you for having me.
All right. A daughter of Texas. Acknowledging Juneteenth, which is now a federal holiday. The states still have to decide how they're going to roll it out. In Illinois, it won't be a holiday until 2023, if I'm not mistaken. But it's on the map. It's out there. And we're glad about that. And as we've mentioned, it is a day of reflection on justice delayed, a day that should be commemorated in addition to being celebrated. Dr. Tanya Jenkins, thanks again.
As always, a pleasure.
Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company for WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.